Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
Welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. This is your host, Emerald Greenforest, and today we welcome our special guest, David Stone. David is dedicated to helping people overcome the anxieties, worries, and self-doubts that keep us all from achieving our highest potential. Fed up with the fear, anxiety, and self-doubt that got in the way of the life he wanted to live, he set out to find a better way. Now he shares what he's learned through his books, workshops, keynotes, blogs, and social media. He is a provocative, inspiring, and disruptive writer, speaker, and change agent. And he makes hard topics accessible and helps people enjoy the expansion of their comfort zones. He firmly believes that your parachute can't open till after you've jumped out of the plane. Welcome to the show, David. So nice to have you.
Thank you, Emerald. I am thrilled to be here with you and thrilled to share with your audience some of these ideas about how they can remove anxiety from their lives. Because I believe very strongly, and Tony Robbins says, that fear and anxiety are the number one killer of dreams.
No doubt about that. Well, I had the pleasure of meeting you in person at the National Publicity Summit. And so that's how I brought you to the show. And I, you know, obviously I would not have had you on the show if you hadn't said something to me in less than 2 minutes to make it seem like, oh, this is a great guest for our listeners. So what I'd love to start with, David, is to ask you about your own journey with fear, anxiety, and self-doubt. And what, if anything, happened along that journey? Did you just eventually get fed up with it? Or did you have some kind of divine intervention that happened or some kind of big life blow up thing that happened that caused you to say, okay, this enough, I've got to do something different?
It was the third of those choices. But I think it probably for everybody, anybody that has encountered a large change in their life, it's probably a culmination of all three. But for me, what happened, and I was living a very normal life and a very successful life. I was actually a six-figure earner as a marketing consultant. I had a national reputation, but my entire career I had spent in my entire life worrying that, okay, I managed to make this month's mortgage payment, but what about next month? You know, I'm sure it's okay now, but... And at the end of the day, I literally worried myself into homelessness. In August of 2009, I was living in my car. And fortunately, it was in the South, and it wasn't freezing like you are in New Hampshire. But literally, I would wake up in my car in the mornings and go into the truck stop and wash my face and shave, and then I would go see clients. And I very clearly remember waking up one morning at this truck stop in South Carolina and looking at the sun coming up over the trees and saying, okay, David, this is ridiculous. You're a smart guy. You know, you're better than this. Figure this out. And, you know, what's the one common denominator to all this? Who's been present through every step of the way? Me. And so as easy as it is and convenient as it is to blame others or blame the economy or blame somebody else, I realized that I had to take responsibility. So at that moment, I said, I'm going to fix this. And I set out to find a way that didn't involve medication and didn't involve expensive therapy. I said, I can do this. And so I went to the library and started looking at books and started reading everything that I could get my hands on to learn about me. Because I was, you know, so inside here was the enemy. And I thought, you know, that old Lao Tzu art of war thing that says you got to know the enemy. Well, I wanted to figure out about anxiety. And I set out to do that and did. And my life now, and it's 10 years later, but, you know, it took a couple of years, but I figured it out. And I now live frankly, what I believe is a complete worry and anxiety-free life. And it's wonderful. Now, I face challenges like other people do, but they don't paralyze me. And when, you know, when something comes along and tries to knock me down, I have a very, very different attitude towards it. And I look at it as, okay, here's a lesson to be learned. Here's an opportunity to grow. Here's a way to expand my comfort zone. And it's a completely different attitude, and it makes all the difference in the world.
Beautiful. And you're not living in a car anymore, because I could see there's a painting behind you and a wall. You've got walls now. Now I remember why I asked you to be on the show, because I remember the story about being homeless in your car. So, you know, we are living in a time where there's a lot of economic stress and a lot of economic tension on people, and where if you're, you know, tuned in at all to the political scene, statistically, people are saying that 1% of our population has more wealth than the lower 90%. So once upon a time, we would have thought homeless people were unemployed, but you were seeing clients. So I wanted to just, you know, like, talk about that part. Like, how is it possible that you're employed, you're essentially employed, and you are, you know, generating? It's not like you were not generating. Mm-hmm. Like, how did the worry, the fear, the anxiety, like, give us a little bit underneath that? What happened that you ended up homeless?
Well, first of all, there's two factors that I think attract to a person the things that they fear the most. Number one is something that's inside our brain, and it's called your reticular activating system. And it is in the brain stem, and I won't get into the science of it, but basically it's the thing that filters out all the incoming information that your five senses provide and focuses your mind on the thing that you say is important to you. And what's important to you? The thing that you think about the most. And so if what you think about the most is, uh-oh, I don't have enough money, and uh-oh, you know, this isn't going to work out, then that RAS goes out and searches for it, and guess what? It finds it. Now, the second factor, of course, which I firmly believe in, I don't know how many of your listeners do, but that is the law of attraction. Because I think that the biology of the RAS and the law of attraction combine to bring into your life those things that you spend the most time thinking about. And so, you know, I don't want to go into all tons of detail of, well, I overcommitted to this and I... etc. But all the factors added up to the fact that I was way overextended. And it included getting bitten by the early in the stages of the recession in 2008. And I ended up with a house that got foreclosed by the bank and, you know, a bunch of things like that. And again, it would be very easy to blame if it hadn't been for the bank, if it hadn't have been for this or that. But the point is, it's my problem. Because I can blame them, but until they decide to change, I'm stuck and I give away all my power. And when I decide to take the responsibility, I don't care how it happened. Yes, it might have been, you know, maybe the bank could have cut me some more slack, whatever. But at the end of the day, if I blame them, I've got no power to change the situation. And so I decided that I'm going to take 100% responsibility for my situation, and that is what allows me to get out of it.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, I want to just affirm that what we think about, you know, we do create. I'll never forget when I first left real estate after a 20-year career in real estate, building 51 single-family houses, 56 apartments, and an office building. Then I had this spiritual awakening and went into entrepreneurship. And 6 months down the road, all of a sudden, I started to like really get worried about the money. And I was also awake to this law of attraction idea by this point, right? But there was a part of me that was wired for worry because my mom was a worrier, and because, you know, we're culturally and societally and, you know, sometimes with religion and family processes, people end up getting imprinted with this worry bug, right? Or infected with the worry bug, right?
Absolutely. And in fact, in the book that I just written, and I think you've got a copy of it, called Unsubscribe from Anxiety, my first point is that we are trained from birth to worry. and the world around conspires to encourage us to be worriers. And like you said, my mom was a worrier, my sister's a worrier, everybody's a worrier. So if I'm not worried, there must be something wrong with me. I guess I better worry.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, I started worrying, right? So about 6 months into my adventure into entrepreneurship, I started worrying, and I had had my first like opportunity to be speaking at this little place. And I came home with three $35 registrations, right? So a little bit more than $100. And when I walked in the door, my microwave had been blown up because my babysitter put the popcorn in upside down. I had a message on the answering machine that I needed four new tires on the car. And the very next day, I'm out in the backyard, sweat pouring down my face, tears pouring down my face, because I've just run over a bolt with my lawnmower. And I knew in that moment, I was like, I just created all of these experiences to validate my worry.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And the more you worry, the more it just piles on.
Correct. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about your book. We're very close to the break right now. So I think what we're going to do is we are going to take a short break. And when we come back, we will talk a little bit more about your book. We'll talk about how you navigated out of worry and fear and anxiety, what you've got going on now, how you're serving people now. But right now, we are going to go to the break. And we will be right back with David. But right now, Men on Purpose, we could use some help. If you're enjoying this show and you want us to stay on the air, please consider making a donation at www.menonpurposepodcast.com. We'd also like to ask you to share with your lovely lady friends that we have a brand new show now being broadcast just for them called Wickedly Smart Women Podcast. Thank you to all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've already had thousands of downloads from all over the world. I want to shout out this week to our listeners in Key Largo, because I know there's at least one listener in Key Largo, David Stone. And we will be right back with David in just a moment.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with David Stone. David, who wrote the book Unsubscribe from Anxiety, is available to be connected with at Fearless, FEARLESS.com. We will have that information in the show notes. Can they get the book on that page too, David?
Yes, they can. They can get a link to where they can find it on Amazon and on Barnes & Noble and all. It's available anywhere.
Terrific. Yeah. So can you tell us the title again clearly of what the book
is? It's called Unsubscribe from Anxiety. And the subtitle is Opt Out of the Myth That Worry is Required and Live Your Own Life Now.
Oh,
and the premise of the title and the entire book is that worry and anxiety are not something that is inherently part of us that is absolutely built into us. And as you mentioned before the break, it is something that we've learned to do, we've been trained to do, we've been encouraged to do, and the world around us, every moment of every day, continues to bombard us. I walk through an airport. I fly a lot all over the country. I walk through an airport and here's a monitor with CNN and here's a monitor with Fox News and here's a monitor with the Weather Channel and, you know, terrible, you know, could you survive this? It just rains down on me. So I turn it off because, and I love the intros that all the anchors have, you know, here's what you need to know right now. No, I don't need to know this right now. In fact, most of it I don't need to know at all. And yet I'm told that this is important.
Yeah, I love that. Well, and I personally went on a news diet back in the day about 20 years ago when I had my spiritual awakening as well, although now the news is like found its way into everybody's vision. And so it really becomes our responsibility to choose what we're feeding our heads and feeding our eyes and feeding our ears. And I'm really grateful to everybody who's feeding their ears with the Men on Purpose podcast. So what I want to ask you now, David, is you clearly have stepped into the role by taking responsibility for yourself, by saying, you know, this is ridiculous. I need to do something different. I'm a smart guy. How did I get here? You really stepped into the role of creator, right? And so I'd love to hear about your creation process. What inspired you to take the leap and engage in inspired action, besides that moment, you know, after you have the moment of truth, then the creation process starts. So I'd love to hear about your creation process, number one, and number two, what you might be doing in your own life and maybe with practices that you have in the book to keep that creation process going and to keep the anxiety and the worry and the fear at bay.
Good questions, all of them. Thank you. And essentially what happened is after that moment, I spent a couple of years and I've read hundreds, if not thousands, of books and watched programs and all the rest of it from people who were obviously a whole lot smarter than I was in this area and had solved the problem. And it all just made so much sense to me. So at the point, and this is probably beginning maybe 2 years ago, where I felt that I had really conquered this in my life, and it felt so good. But I was still working. I was a marketing consultant, had a national reputation all across the country, and I enjoyed my work, but it was beginning to lose resonance for me. And I decided, you know, I need to do something more important than this. And so I, without knowing, and it's kind of like what you were saying about your decision, without knowing what I was going to do differently, I said, I got to stop this. And so we put an end to it. And then I said, all right, what do I do now? And I did a lot of praying and a lot of meditating. I meditate every day for about 30 minutes every day. And that is a huge practice in terms of keeping me centered and keeping me anxiety free. I asked the question, I said, what should I do now? And slowly over a couple of months, it started to come to me. And then what occurred to me, and you mentioned about being an entrepreneur. I said, well, what do entrepreneurs say? And entrepreneurs say, find a hole and fill it. What does the world need? And in my case, it wasn't what does the world need, it's what does the world not need? And the world needs to stop being so worried and anxious. And I mentioned early on that Tony Robbins says that, you know, worry and fear are the biggest blockades to everybody fulfilling their dreams. And I thought, okay, well, if I've managed to do this, I need to share it with others. And that's when we got the idea for I Fearless. And I said, okay, I need to start this thing. And I had no idea what it would be or what form it would take. You know, just ideas come to you. And I believe very strongly that they are put in my head on purpose when I open myself to it. And then it was, okay, I need you to write this book. And the process of writing the book was very interesting. It only took about 2 months. And I very much believe after I'd finished it and I read it over, I thought, where did this come from? I didn't write this. And yet there it is. It, you know, yes, I typed out the words, but they some other way they got into my head. And so what I'm trying to do now is share this with as many people as possible. And we are offering workshops. It was so fulfilling. We offered an evening workshop a couple of months ago. And there was one woman came in and she was so anxious and so uptight that one of the exercises we do is ask people to recall their joyous moments. Recall your victories in life, because the opposite of anxiety and self-doubt is self-confidence and self-esteem. And one of the ways we build that is through achievement. I said, I want you to remember back to 5 achievements that you had before you were 18. She couldn't remember one. Not one thing before she was 18 that she counted as a victory. But with a little coaching, she finally remembered, and she remembered that winning a medal in swimming in competition. And the look over her face when she recalled that was just wonderful. It transformed her. And at the end of the evening, she walked out and she says, "My shoulders aren't tight anymore." And I thought, yeah, that's what we want to accomplish. That's what we want to help people with. My personal goal, my stretch goal, is 10 million people to help them overcome anxiety.
Beautiful. Well, and you know, the truth is, David, there's such a ripple effect, because if you support 10 million people, you're actually helping hundreds of millions of people, because
yes.
If you're a chronic worrier, you have anxiety, or you have predilection for that, it ripples out to all the rest of your family and the people that you are around. And so, yeah, beautiful. Well, I will see you and raise you that 10 million, David, because
okay.
It's funny. I have a program that I've developed called the five ways, or a talk that I've developed called the five ways that we ward off wealth. And the first way is worry. We literally yeah. ward off wealth by worrying. Mm-hmm. And so you and I both have had that experience. So yes. I want to ask you now, David, with this big stretch goal of 10 million people, what would you say the biggest challenges that you have right now, either in your business or in your, you know, inner world, to stay focused on the goal and to not allow for the creep? Because what I've noticed is, like, you can do a lot of work. I've done a lot of work. I know a lot of my clients have done a lot of work. You can do a lot of work, and still there can be these, like, old echoes that sometimes rear their head. So I'd love to have you talk about that.
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, and you talked about what gets in the way. And one of the techniques, and we in the book, we talk about worry and anxiety as mental habits. And as with any habit, you can get rid of a habit, but unless you replace it with something else, it's just going to come right back again. And so one of the things that we talk about is replace it with purpose. What is it that you get up every morning that you have to do, that you know, you're called to do? And for me now, I wake up every morning thinking, you know, I want to spread this word. I want to talk to Emerald. I'm so looking forward all day to talking to you, so that more people can hear that this is entirely possible. About a week ago, I was with an old friend, and he was talking about somebody he knows who is just racked with anxiety and almost crippled and paralyzed by it. And I said, "Oh, can I send you the book?" And he said, "Yeah, please." And I sent him off a copy of the book, and he sent me a message. I got it, and said, "Thank you." And I thought, yeah, one at a time, we're getting there. But so for me, the purpose is to spread this message. What's my biggest obstacle? Getting more people like you to welcome me. And I'm so grateful that you've got me on your podcast to be able to share it. That's my biggest obstacle, is to get those ripples spreading out. And of course, I have built-in impatience, and you know, nothing ever happens fast enough. And so I want those ripples to move faster.
Sure, I hear that. Well, and it will make such a difference in the world when you are able to do that. So the other thing that you mentioned that I really just want to bring us back to is, you said the word victory, and you really helped that woman who was at your workshop to connect in with her victories. And I noticed in my own life, I had an experience a few years ago, several years ago, where I was at an event and people were celebrating. I was on a team. And my team won, like we won the first leg of this multi-part competition. My team won, we're all jumping up and down, and I ended up passed out on the beach. And I realized afterwards that I, in my own life, did not celebrate. I couldn't celebrate. And so I made it a practice to start like finding ways to celebrate. And my podcast, this podcast is one of them. This podcast has given me an opportunity to celebrate. I'm celebrating 86 countries. I'm celebrating thousands and thousands of downloads. And so what I want to ask you is, how do you personally celebrate when you have reached your intended outcome? And do you have a celebration practice that you have in your life, or that you offer to the people who are reading your book, that allows for celebration to become more integrated?
Well, that's a great word, celebration. I like that. And I think it's synonymous with gratitude. And one of the other practices that we talk about is to have this attitude of gratitude, to be able to focus on the things that are going well for you. When it comes to actually recognizing a milestone or a particular achievement, I confess that I rather enjoy Pinot Grigio, and I just not to get carried away, of course, but just to pause and say and pat yourself on the back, or if you're working with colleagues, pat each other on the back. I spent, and this was part of the problem of my far too long life, was, okay, we did that, but the other shoe's about to drop and we don't have time. We got to keep on going. You know, we can celebrate that later. And you find that you spend your entire life waiting for something to happen. And that's one of the biggest revelations I had, is when I realized it's not coming.
Well, and you're actually missing the life that you're having.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Precisely. You just keep putting it off. So I think every single day, you know, if you cook some great pancakes for breakfast, pause for a moment and say, man, that was good. And where you are in New Hampshire, let's pour some extra maple syrup on it. And at the end of writing the book, I took a day and just, you know, basked in the accomplishment. And I don't think there's anything that's egotistical about that at all. But to recognize that, you know, there was this hill that you set out to climb, and here you are at the top of it. Pause a minute and look and take in the view.
Yeah, beautiful. And basking actually gives you fuel. So I want to thank you, David. We're already at the end. It happens so quickly. But I want to really appreciate you and your book, Unsubscribe from Anxiety, and definitely recommend our listeners to go to i-fearless.com and check out more of what David has to offer there. And right now, I want to just say thank you again, listeners. We do love feedback. Please let us know what you thought of this show. We do have a new listener line set up where you can call and leave a message. That will be in the show notes. You could also send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners at menonpurposepodcast.com. We might even give you a shout out on the show. Thanks for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on Apple Podcasts and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.